Welcome to Mountains Are For Moving, where ordinary people are doing extraordinary things. I'm Jacqueline Snyder, social activist with a master's degree in clinical psychology.
And I'm Susan Ramirez, founder and president of the nonprofit Austin Angels. We believe that each of us has the capacity to overcome even the most daunting of obstacles. Sometimes we just need a little inspiration. And that's what this podcast is all about. It's about hearing real stories from real people. It's about looking inside ourselves and standing up to the obstacles within us. We're happy that you're here.
You're listening to episode 4, where Susan and Jacqueline have fun discussing all things inspirational. Thanks for tuning in.
So we're going live?
We are.
Are you going to wear your headphones?
I'm recording. I'll take them off.
It doesn't matter if they're on or if they're not on.
Okay, so welcome to episode 4.
We've made it.
We did. Wow.
It's like we've made it so far, 4 episodes.
Four
but it's something
episodes.
To be proud of.
I'm very proud of it. I don't even want to admit how many hours it has taken to produce 4 episodes, but that's okay. 3 episodes.
Right.
I haven't done this one yet.
So do you remember, it wasn't that long ago, really? I mean, it really hasn't been that long ago since I texted you and I was like,
yes,
this is something I want to do. And you're like, hello, I want to do this too. And then we got the ball rolling and here we are already on our 4th episode.
Yes.
I mean, it's only been a couple of weeks really.
Right.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy when you think about it because that means it's been, I mean, it's definitely been over a month that this has been in the works. And
yes.
It just feels like it was just a couple weeks ago.
Love it. Okay, so Let's start. I'm going to just go straight into interview and start asking you questions.
Okay.
Why did you say that you wanted to do this?
So I felt like there has just been so much negativity in the air, especially lately with the election and everything. And I just felt like when you texted me, it was this opportunity to be a part of something positive, something inspirational, something that could give people hope. And I just think we're all really in need of that right now. I mean, it wasn't just for our audience, if I'm going to be totally honest. It was also for me. I just felt like it would be healthier for me to have some positivity. Yeah, an outlet. Yeah, yeah.
So for me, what's funny, and I don't think I've actually ever told you this before. Maybe I have. I don't know. About 5 years ago, this is true. About 5 years. I'm like totally just okay. Anyway, so about 5 years ago, this is way long before. Chris and I were just boyfriend and girlfriend at this time. And I had gone out. This is when Oprah was leaving. Did I tell you this? This is when Oprah was leaving her regular
NBC or whatever.
Yeah, wherever she was on.
CBS.
To create OWN. And so she was looking for a host, like a new host. And so I totally drove to Dallas because I wanted, which is exactly what we're doing today. But 5 years ago, I went out with the hopes that I could have a platform where I was going to be interviewing normal, regular, everyday people who were going to change the world or maybe not even changing the world, but changing their own sphere of influence. So like people who were brave enough, you know, because what you see on TV right now, if we turn on the television, it's like salacious news about celebrities. That's all we hear about.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of celebrities that are doing a lot of good things, but nobody's highlighting that. You know, like if we talk about Madonna, for example, I don't know if you know this, but she has given millions and millions and millions of dollars and to this one of the poorest countries in Africa and has built schools and hospitals and all sorts of kind of things. But no one ever talks about that kind of stuff. So I wanted to have an outlet where we could interview normal people who were doing extraordinary things.
Yes.
And also celebrities. So anyway, so here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. It's fabulous. So what do you love about this podcast?
What I love about this podcast so far has been hearing the response. It's been really touching to see how much people have been moved by the podcast, and not just moved emotionally, but actually even moved to action. You know, to have so many people contact me about Austin Angels and wanting to participate through, you know, in some way, or, you know, with last week's episode, I've had some people come forward and say, you know, thank you so much for being honest, you know, having something so real.
I would love that.
Yeah.
You didn't even tell me that.
I'm sorry. It's been a crazy week.
Yeah.
And, you know, people buying her book, and I think that that will give them a source of comfort, like knowing that they're not alone. And and I've had, you know, a few people come up, you know, saying that they're really thankful I shared my adoption story because they have similar elements to their story that they haven't shared a whole lot. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think, you know what it is? Did you ever take that Myers-Briggs? What's the other one? StrengthsFinder?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, right. Yes. So connectedness is like one of my top ones. So I love connecting people.
I believe that. I believe that to be true. If you are listening, you have not done the StrengthsFinder book, you have to. It's a must. What did you do it for? Just because? Or this was
for school.
For school. Okay. Yeah.
So my top one was Woo.
Oh, 100% it is, which is winning others over. Yeah. So mine is, what was mine? Gosh, I should know this because this is what I, you know, my previous job at corporate America, every new hire would have to take this. In fact, every time I go and talk at Texas State, every year I go and talk to the students, and every single year I do a speech on that.
It had to be like one of the ones that's like accomplishing amazing things. Like, what is it? Like Challenger or like.
I tell you what, this is going to bug the crap out of me now. What is
Activator.
It?
I bet you it was Activator.
It is.
I knew it.
It is. It is. Yes. That was my number one trait.
No doubt.
Yes.
No doubt.
Yep. Okay. Okay. Moving along. Love it. So the takeaway from this podcast, if you get nothing else, it is that you should go and buy StrengthsFinder.
Yes.
But you can't just, you have to buy a new one because it gives you a code in the back and then you have to plug it in and you have to take a 30-minute online gut kind of questions.
Yeah.
Like, and they only give you like 10 seconds to respond. So you read a question and it's your first response.
Yeah.
And then it shoots out and it's so accurate. You read it and you're like, yeah, this is
one of the reasons why I love it so much is because unlike so many other testing apparatuses, it basically focuses on your strengths, like your positive attributes.
Yes.
And encourages you to emphasize those and to develop those. Instead of being so concerned about what you're not good at and how to get better at the things you're not good at.
Okay, yes.
Love that.
Okay, and I want to tell you what, this is so awesome that you brought this up because one of my most favorite stories comes from that book and it talks about how, and I haven't read the book in a long time, so I'm going to totally butcher this, so extend grace to me here, but it's basically about a guy who gets to the pearly gates. He dies and gets to the pearly gates and he says, I want to say it's like has something to do with Mark Twain. Anyway, so he dies and he's at the pearly gates and he says to St. Peter, is it Peter? It's one of those Peter or Paul things.
Yeah, you said that.
Okay. So he's at the pearly gates and whoever's there welcoming them in.
Right.
Is it Peter?
It's Peter.
Oh, geez. Here we are again. anyway, so he says to him, hey, listen, I have always really been into history and war history. War history has always been kind of my favorite thing. So can you tell me who was the number one general of all time? Do you remember this story?
No, I don't.
And St. Peter says, oh, it's that guy over there. And he pointed and the guy said, no, 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 you must be mistaken. That guy was a common laborer. And he said, you're right, he was. But if he would have chosen the path that was laid before him, that he would have been the greatest general of all time.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was like, man, I read that, and I'm like, this is so true. Because I believe that God gives each of us a direct path, a following that we must take. We must listen to the calling. We must be open to it, you know? And so for me, when I read that, I was like, this is a reminder that we have a gift. And we almost have a responsibility, you know? Like, I think about my best friend, for example, she's going to listen to this. She'll be like, why are you calling me out? She is the most amazing singer. Do you know this about Amber?
No.
Oh my gosh. She is literally good enough right now to have a record deal. Amazing voice.
Wow.
Like one of the best I've ever heard. Yet she will not follow that passion. She will not follow it. And I'm always on to her like, we only have one life to live. And that is a gift. When you have been given something like that, like you need to use it because that is something that you're giving as a gift for someone else, just not yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll always be like, hey, can you sing me a song? You know, like.
I would love
she'll
to
record,
have an amazing voice.
Yes, I know, right? It's like that one thing. Actually, that one thing for me would be, I would want to be a dancer.
Susan is obsessed with Dancing with the Stars, you guys. Like
this is true.
Like It's really cute because I can't tell you how many times somehow Dancing the with conversation the Stars gets stirred. Yes, it gets steered into the conversation. I'm like, how did we get here?
This is 100% true. And not only am I crazy about it, I also stalk every single one of the dancers. So I follow them all. And it's so funny because yes. when I watch it on Monday nights, mm-hmm. my husband will walk by and I'm just like smiling from ear to ear, like the hugest grin, like so happy. And he's like, you are such a loser. Like, what is going on with you? Because I'm so in it.
You know what though? Don't you think that all of us, I think especially those of us who are very passionate, we care very deeply about some very hard and serious things that are happening in this world, you have to have something like that.
100%. But truthfully, so last year, so they do a tour every single year. And last year I was so blown away because you don't really ever get an opportunity to like dive deep and know the dancers and all mm-hmm. that. But I was so moved. You're like totally laughing at me, but stay with me.
I'm with you.
I was so moved because they did a story on their tour about how each one of them, when they began dance at a very young age, that they never knew where it was going to lead them. I mean, right? So like you start something out and you're thinking, okay, I'm training. You know, I enjoy dance, but who would have thought that 20 years later that they would have these huge public careers? And Dancing with the Stars is like one of the number one most watched shows on ABC.
It is pretty amazing. It is really amazing.
And I can't even tell you that I hold Reed all the time. I'm like dancing around my living room. Aww. And I can't dance at all. I mean, that's the funny thing. It's like I've got no training. I can't dance at all. But anyways, okay. So let's play a game.
Okay, Susan has a game for us.
And the game is this. So let me just tell you a little bit about me. So I don't really have what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I just go straight deep. I don't have,
No, she doesn't do like
small talk.
Right. You don't do like the water cooler.
No. I'm like
unless it's about Dancing with the Stars.
Unless it's about Dancing with the Stars. And even then I can find a way to make it go deep. But yeah. Okay. So I want to play a game with you. And here's the game. I'm not looking. Okay. So she has on her piece of paper some things. I've got mine. And so here's the game. We kind of prepped. So we are going to play a word association game. So that way you can kind of get to know us a little bit better. And so what that means is like if I say, for example, like if I ask you apple, if I just say apple, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Snow White.
Okay, see, I would not even think of that. But this is, I mean, that's good. And so it's about like giving real quick responses and kind of keeping you on your toes. So I'm going to ask you 10 little things and you're just, and you're going to give me your first responses.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so if I say God, what's the first thing that pops up?
Dude, that is the most difficult one. I know, it's a big one. It's like a feeling. It's like this awesome.
Okay, what's your feeling?
It's good.
Okay. God is good. Okay. That's deep. Sorry, we are talking about deep.
Gosh,
okay.
I can't explain.
All right. Number two.
Okay.
Family. Oh my God. You're slow.
Sorry. Well, it's because I think I analyze stuff too much.
I know.
I can't
being
just.
A therapist.
Okay. I'll
get out of your head.
Okay. Let's do it again. Okay. Go.
Money.
Bill Gates.
Okay.
Okay.
Religion.
Sucks.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Brave. Okay.
Ooh, I'm thinking of like a warrior princess.
I love that you said princess. I was thinking warrior, like, okay, I'm with you, princess. Oh, I love it. I love it. Yes. Okay, sexy.
Ooh, Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Also crazy.
California or Texas?
Oh, California.
As she mumbles under her breath. Okay. Oh. Reading a book or watching TV?
Both at the same time.
Okay, that's terrible.
I know. It's true, though.
Adoption.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Family.
Is forever.
Okay, that was your 10.
Oh,
you did pretty
good. Good, I'm done. Okay.
You, like, started sweating. All
right. I'm, like, so hot right now. Okay, I don't know if I did this right.
Okay.
But we'll just try.
There's no real right or wrong.
Okay, ready?
This is better, too, when you have a cocktail in your hand.
Oh, that would have been way better. Yeah. Why did we not do that?
I know.
Okay, all right. Ready? Okay. Favorite way to relax?
Massage.
Favorite girl name?
Favorite girl name?
Mm-hmm. Because she only has boys. So I wanted to know what your
girl name is. Lola. 100% Lola. Yeah. And Penelope, but Lola. Oh, that's cute. Lola's my number one.
Lola's the best.
And everybody makes fun of me.
And Layla. It would have been Layla and Lola. That
I have a
so
girlfriend
cute.
That has Layla as a daughter. And do you know that everybody makes fun of me for Lola?
Why?
Whatever. I don't know.
I love it. Okay. Junk food.
Chips and queso.
Friendship.
Everything.
Best TV show of all time.
Dancing with the Stars.
What you just listened to.
So I am really obsessed right now with, I just heard of this band. I've never heard of them. So here's a little something about me. I am obsessed with music, like big time.
I am too.
Like on a very deep,
deep,
deep level.
How did we not know
about
this about each other?
The Roosevelts. So there's a song by the Roosevelts called This Is Life.
Mm.
Can I just play it?
I think so.
Let's see.
Are we going to get some sort of copyright infringement for this?
This is the freaking jam.
Oh no, I don't know if I can do this. It has a Bob Dylan feel to it. Uh-oh. I really like it. No, I have heard this. Okay, I think you should stop it because okay. I don't want to get some sort of suit. I don't know.
Oh, we're like promoting them. They'll love it.
Oh, yeah. The Roosevelts, everybody, buy their CD or whatever you
so this
do
is
now.
Life.
Download
this,
it.
This Is Life is my number one jam right now.
Don't sue us, Roosevelts. We love you.
Okay.
Okay. Best book.
The Alchemist.
Playtime.
Playtime. You know, playtime for me is really difficult because playtime for me is Austin Angels in the podcast. Really. Mm-hmm. Like, it's what I love to do more than anything.
I love it too.
Yeah.
Mom life.
The greatest gift God has ever given me.
Mm. Oh, your eyes are tearing up, you guys. That's so cute. Wow, that was fun. Okay. Meaning of life.
True, deep relationships.
Mm, mm-hmm. Yeah. See, you're probably connecting us up there too.
Bam!
Boom. Okay, see, she's good.
Nailed
at this.
It. Okay, so moving on. Here's another thing I want to talk about. You just asked me about favorite book. Alchemist,
yes.
Number one favorite book of all
yes.
time.
She actually, you actually had me read this book.
And our quote at the very end.
No, because one thing we have in common, Susan and I, another thing we have in common is that we don't read fiction, like, ever.
Never, ever.
We're obsessed with nonfiction. Mm-hmm. I have tried so hard. I did make an exception, and it was called Twilight, but we won't get into that. And anyway, I was in grad school and I was stressed out. I needed something to escape. Okay. But anyway, so I read The Alchemist and it was amazing.
So, but you didn't read it. Don't tell people the truth. You don't read. You listen.
This has been a game changer for me. What I like to say is I experience books now through Audible. And Audible, if you're listening, if you would like to sponsor our podcast, we would love that. They sponsor a lot of podcasts. No, Audible has been a total game changer for me because I do love to read. And I just don't get a lot of downtime right now as a mom of two little boys. So
when are you listening? You like listening
to it? I listen to it in the car. I listen to it while I'm doing folding laundry. I listen to it while I'm washing dishes. I listen to it while I'm cooking dinner. I sound like a Susie housewife.
Why does she have to be named Susie?
Susie! That was so weird.
That's what my husband calls me.
While I'm doing whatever.
Okay, yeah. So what's your number one favorite book? So I said mine was Alchemist. What's yours?
It's called Life of the Beloved.
I think you've told me
that. By Henry Nouwen. It's actually a very short book.
Okay, why do you love it?
But I love it because basically the premise is that it's through our brokenness that Christ's light shines best.
Oh, okay.
But it's really interesting because it's written by, I'm gonna not say this correctly. He's not a pastor. He's actually a priest, and he's writing to his Jewish friend about Christianity, but it's just in such a beautiful, like, poetic but also very, very simplistic way that it just breaks it all down, that it's so inspiring for me.
All right. So number one favorite book is Alchemist. For me, the number two, kind of I would say the biggest book that has played the biggest impact in my role running Austin Angels is Essentialism. So if you haven't read that, I would say definitely get that. It's by Greg McKeown, I think his name is.
I've heard of that.
And then the other one is The One Thing by Greg Keller. Ooh. I think it's, no, the guy that created Keller Williams wrote it. I can't think of his name. But anyways, two brilliant books. Mm. So I would say definitely. Yeah. So what do you...
The book that's rocking me right now, like crazy, is Just Mercy by Bryan Stevenson.
I don't know
it. Oh my gosh, it is so good. It's... basically about, so he's a lawyer, and it's about like a lot of the injustices in our criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. It's really a lot about, the death penalty and, man,
it rocks your world.
Oh, totally blows the lid off of everything I knew about. Thought I knew about the criminal justice system and death penalty and stuff. But he, like, this is the thing. So you and I, we love story. Everybody loves story. And that's the thing about this book, is it's not dry. I mean, it's all about stories. He's a lawyer going in to meet these men, mostly men, on death row, mm-hmm. and hearing their stories. And the sad thing is a lot of them are innocent. That's the whole thing, is that a lot of them are not supposed to be there at all. And it just takes so long for them to get justice.
And 80% of them are former foster care children.
Right.
Does it say that in the book?
Yes, it absolutely does. Actually, yes. And oh gosh, you have got to read it. There's this story in it about this. So Brian Stevenson is Black, and he is going in to see his client, who is also Black. But there's a guard at one of the prisons who... is very flagrant about being a white supremacist and makes the lawyer go into the bathroom to get strip searched and all the stuff that they never do to lawyers, you know, like it was just ridiculous. So he's always giving him a bad time. Well, the defendant, or I guess the guy that the lawyer was representing, I don't know the right term. He was a former foster care child. And so when he went before the judge, told him his whole story and just really painted the picture of who this guy really was. And he was a good person who had been through a lot of trauma. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, that guard had been there hearing this story. And the next time the lawyer came to see him, to see his client, the guard said, "I just want you to know that I think what you're doing is a really good thing." Mm. He said, "I was a foster care kid too, and I didn't think anybody had it worse than I did, but I think he did." Mm. And oh gosh, I have chills right now. And so it just completely broke through the race barrier. And, you know, but then it also shows you, you know, it's like to have grace for that white supremacist too, mm-hmm. right? Because, I mean, he had it really rough. Mm-hmm. And
way to be a buzzkill. Jeez.
Oh, sorry. I
you're
always
talking
do that.
About Dancing with the Stars.
Hey, you're the one who said you don't like shallow conversations. This is why we get along, right? I'm sorry. Can we help it? Okay. So anyway, just
so it's
kidding.
A must read. Okay. So what's the must name read. Of the book?
Just Mercy.
Just Mercy.
Just Mercy.
And who is it by?
Brian Stevenson.
All right.
Total game changer.
All right. So what's next on your read list?
Okay. So what's next on my read list is Doing Good is Simple. We actually got to see Chris Marlowe speak. He came to Austin New Church and told his story, which was just...
game changer.
Totally. I mean, you know, it's one thing to just hear about something that an organization is doing, but to hear about the people behind it that are like putting their blood and sweat and tears into these movements, I mean...
so inspiring.
It's so inspiring. Mm-hmm. And to know that, I mean, he came from a rough background.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, I don't know this. Mm-hmm. So, you know I know Chris. Did
right.
you know this?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I totally name dropped you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. When I saw him, I'm like, "Hey, I'm friends with Susan Ramirez." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, cool." And
he's like, "Cool, I don't know who
like,
that is."
Come on our podcast. Okay. He would be the perfect person to have on this podcast because it's totally... yeah, he came, I mean, I hope I don't say this wrong because I'm remembering this. I haven't read the book yet. I'm remembering this from his talk, but I mean, he did come from a single mother household. Dad wasn't around. And then he kind of had some stepfathers in and out that weren't really very good news, you know, crashed on some people's couches. He actually was kind of like casually, you know, not officially adopted by a friend's family from a church.
Okay.
And just some really amazing God moments happened for him where I think it was very clear that he was destined for greatness. And I think what his organization, I haven't even mentioned Help One Now, is now his organization, which, I mean, they're just doing amazing work in Haiti and are they
Africa. I mean, they're African. I think they're going into Peru.
Yeah, I did hear about that too. So, I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable the things that that God has used him for, you know, and just to hear the way he talks about himself as a teenager, just that he was kind of like a slacker or whatever. And I mean, you know, slackers don't run organizations like this. I mean, you know, it's just, it was the circumstances he was in, but there were people in his life, and it was certainly God that helped him to overcome those barriers.
He could move that mountain.
That's right. Oh, gosh.
So do you know, okay, so let me tell you how I know Chris. So back in 2010, Austin Angels, at that point, we were a bunch of what we call our volunteers go-givers. We were a bunch of go-givers just picking a new service project and doing a new service project every mm-hmm. single month. And that particular month, we were going to the Settlement Home, which is a girls' mm. home here in Austin, and we were doing a day of beauty for them. And oh. so we put a call to action out for hairdressers and makeup artists and nail techs and estheticians, and we went in and we gave these girls a day of beauty, and it was really awesome. Well, Chris Marlowe's wife, Nicole, is a hairdresser, oh. and so somehow, some way, she got the email, and she showed up, and she was there and did an amazing job, and she said, hey, you should meet my husband, Chris, because he just started an organization. So we pretty much started the exact same time.
Wow.
And so not long after that, I met him for coffee, and I was so blown away at this guy, because like when you think of a leader, and it's, listen, we could go on about this for days, but Chris has the ability to make you feel special. Mm. He has the ability. He's a very humble guy. Mm-hmm. He's not a show, look at me kind of guy. And when you mm-hmm. hear about a man who started this from the ground up, and now his organization makes, I don't know, $3 million a year. And he has just done an unbelievable job and, you know, faithful man.
Yeah.
And so anyways, it's really awesome to be able to have watched him take Help One Now into what it is today. So it's a remarkable. So yeah, I'm excited to read his book too. I have it, and it's on my kind of next list too. So it's Doing Good Is Simple.
Yes.
By Chris Marlowe.
Yes, Doing Good Is Simple, forward by our girl Jen Hatmaker.
Okay, well, that leads me into my next book.
Yes.
So we talk about the Hatmakers.
Speaking of humble, awesome people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So on my next little reading thing, is Cute. Brandon Hatmaker's book, A Mile Wide, and mm-hmm. that is Trading a Shallow Religion for a Deeper Faith. And so let me tell you about Brandon, because I actually met Brandon through Chris. So Chris Marlowe.
Chris Marlowe? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we had teamed up, the Go-Givers, Austin mm-hmm. Angels had teamed up, and we were going to do, at that point, we were doing a garage sale for building a water well in Haiti, and we needed to raise $3,000. So we did a big, huge garage sale. Well, we did it, the months, it's not really important, but we were doing a big event in August, trying to raise money for September for him. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we had done a big school supplies, and we had asked Chris to come and speak at it. We were doing a big mm-hmm. drive, and we were going to do school supplies for a whole school, Perez Elementary, which is one of the poorest schools in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were collecting backpacks and school supplies, and we needed to get 400 backpacks, because our goal that year was that we were going to not send a supplies list home to any child in the school, that we were going to get every single, all 400 kids were going to have their full list. So we were short backpacks. And so I think this was, I mean, back in 2010, I don't even know if we were on Facebook. I feel like it was MySpace. I don't even remember.
MySpace, yes.
Right?
Right, yeah.
Chris had put on, I think, MySpace or Facebook, whichever it was, and he said, hey, does anybody have any backpacks? Because we were exactly short 100 backpacks. So he says, hey, we're short backpacks. Does anybody have any backpacks that they could donate to Austin Angels? Mm-hmm. Well, Brandon gets the email, and he contacts me, and he says, hey, Susan, my name is Brandon. I'm a pastor at a church here in Austin, and I've got 100 backpacks that were delivered to our church, but we don't really have use for them. Would you like to use them? And I was like, 100%, we need them, and don't you know that we are exactly short 100, and you have 100, like, hallelujah,
awesome.
You know,
I love God.
Yes, awesome. So we ended up getting the backpacks, and Brandon ended up coming to our school supplies drive, and then he actually came to our garage sale. And here's why I fell in love with Brandon.
is because he shows up at our garage sale, and meanwhile, this preacher is all covered in tattoos, and yes. He is a gnarly-looking dude. I mean, right. Like, he looks tough. He's got the goatee, and he's not, like, suit button-up, like,
is so funny baby face. Because now knowing him, I mean, I don't, like, really know him, but whenever he gets up to speak at church, he cries, like, every single sermon.
It's the reason why I love...
Like, his heart is so soft, and it's so sweet.
Yes.
But anyway...
Which is the reason why I love ANC is because of the way that he preaches.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, so Brandon comes to the garage sale and he picks the most nastiest looking like little cup, okay? It's like this glass and I don't know where it was donated from or whatever. But he gives me a $50 bill for it. And he says, I'm going to drink my finest whiskey out of this glass. And I'm like, all right, dude, like you're covered in tats. You just gave me a $50 bill for this glass. Like, I want to know
you. And you drink whiskey.
And you drink whiskey. I want to be your friend.
Right.
And so anyways, I'm excited to read his book because he actually wrote about me in his first book. He wrote about Austin Angels.
I know. I remember reading
The Barefoot
about it.
Church. Yeah. Yes. So I'm excited. And Brandon has really, what's incredible about Brandon and Jen is that shortly after that, myself, Chris, my husband, and then a handful of other Austin Angels people started to go to ANC because mm-hmm. there's just a real authentic something that I had never experienced before in going to church. And I've gone to church my whole life and never had that kind of deeper that faith. You know, you had talked about how Brandon cries. I mean, I felt like I fell in love with God because of the way that Brandon mm-hmm. spoke about this man. You know, I grew up Church of Christ.
Right.
And so it was something completely different for me going to a church where people like raise their hand up in the air when they're singing, you know?
I don't even know what Church of Christ is. Like,
So Church of Christ, I mean, there's like no singing. There's no...
Oh my gosh.
Excuse me. Okay. There is singing, but there's a cappella. So there's absolutely no music. And certainly no one's raising their hand up in the air praising God.
This is
you know
like Footloose status? Like, is that what we're talking about?
I don't know.
Oh my God. You've never seen Footloose? You've never seen Footloose?
I don't know.
The girl who loves Dancing with the Stars. We are watching Footloose this week.
All right. Popcorn and a Diet Coke. Sounds good. It's my favorite thing to do, watching a movie. I don't know if that's about, but there's no dancing.
Wow.
So
this is why earlier, just FYI, when you said religion, I said sucks, because when I hear religion, like that's what I think of.
And being raised Church of Christ certainly played a role in my life. But mm-hmm. what I'm talking about is that, you know, I would go every Sunday and check the box like most
people. Exactly, right.
You know, but I didn't have that real kind of deep, mm-hmm. longing faith that I have now. And I truly believe it's because... just the beauty in what they share at Austin New Church.
It's so
where
real.
It's so real and it's not fake. And you know what I love is that, you know, I've gone to churches before where it's this big, huge, extravagant building with, you know, thousands of dollars of stained glass and mm-hmm. preachers that have the bow tie and the suits on. Right. And it's just a little bit too show me. And
yes.
not, I like, I want to get gritty.
Right.
You know?
That's what I love about Austin New Church too. It's just... So, like, I don't know if you know this about me, but I was not raised a Christian.
Yes.
And I was really turned off by a lot of Christians and for all the reasons you're saying. And so I think it's so cool how ANC has brought together people from all different walks of life who just wanted something real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
And really loved Jesus, because Jesus was real.
Yes. 100%.
I mean, he was like that.
You know, just kind of talking about this before we move on. I can remember something that was really profound for me is when, so Jen every year would get up and she would speak on Mother's Day, I think. And she had said one time, she doesn't preach very often. I mean, hardly ever, maybe a couple of times a year. Anyway, she said to me that, or not to me. I mean, she's always just speaking to me. You know? Like I'm the only one in the room.
Right.
But she had said something like, you know, if Jesus was walking the earth today, where would he be right now? Like, if Jesus was here, where would he be? Do you remember this?
Yes.
And she said he, like, Jesus would not be in Westlake. He would not be.
Which is an upscale area of Austin.
Yeah. He wouldn't be in churches. He would mm-hmm. be down with the homeless people. He would be in, you know, kind of the grittiest of grit mm-hmm. areas in Austin.
Right. And he'd be in Eastside. He'd be in Watts for our Southern California listeners. He'd be in Oakland for our Northern California listeners. Like, right. Like, he'd be in the thick of it.
Yes.
Right.
And so for me, I was like,
Yeah, that's, I mean, that is true. It's like, here we are trying to be like the perfect quote unquote people. But, you know, if we're trying to live like Jesus lived, well, let's really do that. Let's really do that. So anyways.
And you've so done that, Susan. No, I really believe that. I mean, there's so much that you have taught me about our foster care system, and just these kids are just so precious, and it's so sad to hear the statistics about where a lot of them end up.
You know, it's so funny because you like give me a compliment. What do? I put my head down, you know, like, oh.
She's like totally blushing.
I like immediately put my head down. Like, I'm supposed to be the one that compliments people. That's where I, but like, if you do it to me, I'm like, no. Yeah.
You got out of the boat.
Got out of the boat, which actually I learned at ANC too. Trey Pruitt had taught about that, about getting out of the boat.
Is awesome.
So you can go back to episode one to
Speaking
hear about that
Speaking of people
story.
Who don't look like pastors, when I first saw, one of the first times my mom, I think, ever came, I think it was my mom.
Another dude Trace, that has a super long goatee.
Big dude. Like, for real, looks like he could be like an NFL linebacker.
Yes.
Tatted out. Like, yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, that's one of our pastors. It was awesome.
Yes. So A Mile Wide is next on my kind of read list. Right. And, you know, some people like Bob Goff, which, have you read anything by him?
I follow him on Instagram. I heard him speak a little bit at IF. And it's funny that you said that, because I'm looking down at all these different things. She has the book here with her, and we're looking at the back cover of, you know, all the different accolades that the book has gotten. And you know it's a good sign when you love all the people who are saying something good about this book.
Well, like Christine Kane. I mean,
she's amazing.
And then have you ever read The Circle Maker?
No, I haven't. I haven't even. Actually, he's the one I haven't heard of. Would I love that?
Amazing. And well, it's
and
a
of
short
course, I love Shauna, which is another book I just recently read, or sorry, experienced through Audible.
Okay.
And it's so fun because she's reading it. And so the thing I do love about Audible is
it's like she's having a conversation with you.
Totally. And you're hear like, it the friend. Way they intended you to. Like, they put the inflection where they want it and all that. So it's kind of nice. But yeah, I just heard Present Over Perfect.
Oh, yeah, that's a new one.
So, that was a total game changer for me. That completely changed.
You know,
and I love Angie Smith, too.
Love Angie Smith. And you know what's awesome about Angie Smith?
Bible study. That's what we did together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what's funny about Angie Smith is that when we did her Bible study, I was also doing a charity boot camp at that time, and Jen was doing our boot camp. And I was like, so tell me, because I know you hang out with these people. So what's the skinny on
there.
Angie?
I was with you.
And she said she is literally like slap your knee funny. Like one of the most funniest girls. And I love a good funny.
And
like,
for
I love
Jen
a good
to
laugh.
Say that must mean she's really funny.
Absolutely.
Jen is super funny. Yes. So yeah, she seems like that.
Okay, awesome. So you've got your book. I've got my book.
Doing Good is Simple.
Yep. And I've got A
Chris
Mile
Harlow.
Wide.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mile Wide by Brandon Hatmaker. We want to know, what are you reading? What would you recommend that we read? Anything else?
What inspires you?
What inspires you? Do you watch Dancing with the Stars?
And if you do, we could talk about this for days. In fact, let me tell you why I wanted to start this podcast, because we never asked me why I wanted to start the podcast. We did?
You just said it at the beginning.
What? What did I say?
You said, I can't remember now.
You see, you're not even listening to me.
I am.
Well, one reason why I said that I wanted to do the podcast, or I don't know if I've said this, but like, I don't have a space in my life to kind of have these good, deep, visceral, cerebral conversations.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we did say. We said that I'm not the type of person that does small talk. I just want to go straight to the jugular. Yeah. Like, I want to know.
Yeah.
And so this is a kind of a fun space for that. But number two reason, and I just held up number two
number
as if
two.
You can see it.
Yes.
The number two reason is because I have a dream. I literally want to interview the dancers from Dancing with the Stars.
That'd
I've gone
cool.
on too much. I've said too much. This is
can we also interview the cast of Gilmore Girls?
Because, okay, that's fine, but I don't watch that show.
That's my thing.
There's a whole movement with the Gilmore Girls.
Oh yeah.
I don't watch it. But I am watching.
Oh, it's amazing.
What's the replacement for that right now? This Is Us?
This Is Us is more a replacement of Parenthood, which, have you seen Parenthood?
No.
Because that's amazing too.
Listen,
but you're right. This Is Us is amazing.
It's a good one.
And if we're ever gonna just talk about something lighthearted or whatever, we need to talk about This Is Us, because that show is amazing.
And I think Mandy Moore's husband.
Oh, he's in Gilmore Girls. Jess.
I mean, shut the door.
Okay.
That dude is smoking.
No. Thank you. He has always been my guy. Okay, so on Gilmore Girls, there's like three main boyfriends that the main character has, and he's one of them. So you're like, your team Dean, your team Jess, or your team Boo Logan. And I have Jess was a jerk at the beginning, but then he becomes amazing. I've always been team Jess. And that is one of the reasons why I got excited to watch this show, is because he's that on
beard,
it.
That beard is out of control.
Yeah.
I'm like, my palms start sweating.
But also, the thing is, the thing that I love about, I love his character.
Yeah.
He's such a great dad, yes, and a great husband.
Yes.
And yeah, I just.
How far in are you? Because I DVR that.
There's only three.
Three or four.
Right?
I think, well,
I think three.
We're on the fourth.
Really?
This week will be the fourth, I think.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I've always, and I'm going to butcher his name, but I just listened to an interview by
him.
He's
from California. He's like, yeah. Right?
It's born, I don't think he's born.
It's a hard name to say.
It's Milo Vitamiglia or something. Oh gosh. But yeah, I just saw, I listened to a podcast called Gilmore Guys, where it's two guys talking about the Gilmore Girls.
Oh my gosh.
And it's really funny. But they interviewed him.
They have content to go on for days about this?
They have so much content. They have live shows that sell out, like packed houses. It's a good show. You should really watch it.
All right. No, it's probably funny. I won't. I like stuff with a little bit more raunch.
Gilmore Girls.
It's a little too PG-13 for me.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a little corny for me.
People think that about it, but they don't know it. Like, so one of the things the writer just said is, he said, we're more Family Guy than Dawson's Creek.
Oh.
Yes. Like, really, the writing
is
a lot more.
Well, now that just, I'm like, I can't go to Dawson's Creek.
They kind of had to package it like it was more like Dawson's Creek because it was for the WB and they were trying to make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of people think they won't like it. Mm-hmm. But once they actually let themselves get into it a little bit, you'll see. Like, there's so much witty banter, a lot of pop culture references that are just really funny, and she gets dirty.
Oh, okay.
And my girlfriends will know what I mean when I say that.
Okay. So if there was one person that you could interview, who would it be? Or let's talk about real quick, since we talked about, what's the guy's name? Milo? Okay. So is that your number one celebrity crush?
Yes.
Him? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So this is so funny, but he's way out there for me. Like, if he's not number one, he's a close second. But guess who my number one is? You're going to die.
Who?
The guy from Shark Tank. The guy that sits all the way at the end, and he actually just got married to a girl from Dancing with the Stars. What is his name?
Oh, that's funny. I don't even know.
His name?
Shark Tank is a good show, though.
I love Shark Tank.
Shark Tank is
what
awesome.
What is his name? I can't believe I forgot this. I don't know why, but to me, he is just
While
everything.
You look that up, I will say the number one person that I would love to interview is, there's a few. It's really hard to pick one. But right now, I think it would probably be Bryan Stevenson, since I just read his book and it was amazing. Of course, I'd love to have Brandon and Jen.
Robert Herjavec.
Oh.
That's not a great picture.
That's not a great picture.
He
looks like Robin Williams. Does he look like Robin Williams? Well, in this picture, he does. I don't know. I've never seen him before.
Oh my gosh, no.
Oh,
he is so
Susan,
handsome.
This what? Is your number one.
I mean, literally.
Crush?
You know
what?
He is so everything to me.
He's like a cross between Alan Thicke and Robin Williams. That's what he looks like to me.
Oh my god, that's so funny. No, listen, by the way, I am sorry that I laugh so loud. It's so annoying, but he is so handsome to me. And he's kind. I don't know. I just think he's got such swag.
I can't get into it. All right.
Okay.
That's fine.
So, so that's your number one.
Yes.
And then for me, of course, it would be the Dancing with the Stars cast. And I'm really excited because we've got some awesome people
lined up
that I am super pumped up about. Like,
me too.
Super pumped up about. So there's a couple of, I don't know, maybe we don't talk about this right now because I don't want to be like, yeah, we're going to have them or we want to have them, and then they don't show up.
Yeah.
So let's leave
that.
We're
a little insecure about that, but just so you know, we have four
really good ones.
Really good ones coming up.
And then besides them, I would, you know, like, I just have a big heart for Ellen.
Oh, me too.
I love her.
Ellen.
I love her, but she's like way too big for us.
Oh yeah, probably. Uh-huh. But she would be amazing.
Yeah, because you talk about somebody who's moved some mountains.
Oh, big time.
You know what I mean?
Big time.
So Ellen would be, I just really love
her.
Totally. And this is crazy too, but I feel like I would like to interview Mrs. Michelle Obama.
Oh my gosh, I would die.
Yeah?
I would die, yes.
But after she gets out of being the first lady.
She's got to just want to be out of there.
Well, I say that because I'm like, I want to get real. Like, let's have some real conversation.
I love her. Did you see her on, was it, what show was that on? Well, she was on another show where she like did a, what do they call it? Car karaoke. I can't remember the show.
Oh, yes. Late night guy.
Yes.
Brilliant. Love him.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to. Okay. She just became my number one.
Okay. And also, too, though, you know, we talk about crushes and then you said late night. I'm a huge.
Jimmy Fallon.
Yes. 100%.
He is so hilarious.
And Jason Bateman. Love him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Obsessed with him. Mm-hmm. So funny.
Yeah. He is really funny.
I like funny and I like smart.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And I tend to...
See, you would love Gilmore Girls, right, people? Okay, I want you to all let her know, my gillies out there.
Is that what you call yourselves?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Gilmore Girls fans.
Gillies?
You guys, she would love it, wouldn't she? She likes smart and funny. So there you go. We better go. We're hitting 45 minutes. Okay. We said this was going to be so a short show. It was really
fun. Okay, awesome.
Every once in a while, you guys, we're going to throw in an episode like this because we've gotten feedback and it's all good. But like everybody cries like every single episode. So every once in a while,
we might lighten it up a little bit. And it kind of shows our personality too. I mean, we are deep and we like to have those kind of tough conversations, but we're a lot of fun too.
I think so.
Well, we say we are.
We think we're fun. We're having fun right now.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, guys, have a great week.
Yes. Bye. Thanks for listening. Bye. Oh, hey, wait, one more thing.
Oh, geez.
Please leave us a review.
Oh,
yeah. It would mean so much to us if you could please leave us a review.
Yeah, because here's the deal. We want to be part of the, new and noteworthy. Or is that too late for that?
No, it's not too late. Yeah.
So the more reviews that we get.
We need to have them before 8th week, preferably before 6th week. So the more reviews we can get by week 6, it would really help us out a lot to get into new and noteworthy. So if you want to hear these interviews with Michelle Obama and Ellen, and whoever else, help us get up there, guys. Thank you.
Next week's guest will blow you away, but we're not going to announce it on here this time. We're actually going to announce it on our Facebook page, so make sure that we're friends so that you can get the latest updates.
And by the way, if you've overcome a mountain of your own, we want to hear from you. Please go to mountainsareformoving.com and click on the Be Our Guest tab to let us in on your journey. We would love to have you. Thanks again for listening, and a very special thanks to Greg Myers for composing the original music for our podcast. And now we leave you with these wise words from The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. There is only one thing that makes a dream impossible to achieve: the fear of failure. Take care, everyone. We'll see you next time.